Just before we begin, I'd like to thank Pat Shermer, Chris Mara, Chris Pettit, excuse me, Kevin Abrams, the scouts, the coaches, and all the support staff that we have for just doing a terrific job helping us put the whole board together. Everybody's done a great job adjusting to the different philosophy and methodology. We've had meaningful dialogue and collaboration. We've watched a ton of film together, and the ensuing dialogue has been very insightful and meaningful. And my hat's off to all of them. They just did a great job. And with that being said, let the games begin.
Dave, you mentioned the different philosophies. Can you just explain kind of, you know, what changes you brought in?
Well, the college football game is so different from ours, it's not even close. It's a very, very different game. And in the old days, we would grade, you'd have critical factors, and you'd have position specifics. And in the old days, you had kids that were on scholarship, that a lot of them were five-year guys. There was no such thing as the 20-hour rule. And when those guys were coming out, all you had to do was put a little polish on them, and you had a player. The guys that are coming out now, I'm not blaming anybody, they're not as fundamentally and technically as sound as those guys used to be. So to grade a position specific, and plus, since the game has changed, college game is different, it's hard for us to really decipher what each player is being asked to do. It's different. So what I've tried to get everybody to understand is, you know, you've got to grade the critical factors. You've got to grade instincts, competitiveness, strength, explosion, athletic ability, and you've got to grade their play speed. I don't care what a guy runs on a watch in his underwear. I don't care. It's how fast is he playing on the field? How does he carry his pads? That's what's important. So with this 20-hour rule and everything, you can't really knock him. For example, take a linebacker. You got to be careful if you knock his grade down because he doesn't shed well. You don't know what he's being taught. You don't know, you know, what he's being told. You don't know how much time is being spent on that skill, and it's a skill. But that's a skill that can be coached. That's something we can improve. So that's why I don't grade as much. Well, I'm not as concerned much with the position specifics as I am with the critical factors. So that's a different way of looking at it. And then just the whole methodology of setting the board up. I learned a really neat way of looking at it when I went to Carolina. I'd never seen it before. And when I looked at it, you know, of course I'm a little anxious because, you know, these guys got to understand they're teaching me to a certain degree. And they were very gentle. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a great way of looking at it. It really brings clarity to what you're doing. And the other thing is the detail work. Really, really knowing the player. You know, digging deep. What kind of a guy is he? Does he train? How important is football to him? I said it to you guys, I think in my opening presser, I don't want guys that like to play football. I want guys that hate to lose. That's what I want. There's anybody in this room that wouldn't say who likes to win, and everybody raised their hand. I've gone through this exercise before. You know, it's just the way it is. So it's that detail work that's really important, and everybody's getting it. And it was really neat sitting around and, you know, watching film as a group. It's great for if we're looking at a guy that played in the Southeast Conference, it's great for the scouts that didn't get an opportunity to see him play. And obviously vice versa as you're looking at players from around the world, around the country, I should say. So I thought it was a great exercise. It's a great teaching moment that we all can learn from each other. And I thought that was very good. The scouts were excellent in terms of, you know, chiming in and telling me what they thought. And, you know, I told them at our opening, first time we all sat down, I said, listen, you're getting paid for your opinion. If you leave this room wishing you had said something but didn't, shame on you. And you're not doing your job. You think about it. So it was great. I mean, we've had a great time of prep. The scouts are home right now. We all got tired of looking at each other. And there was time for them to see their families. So we did that. So they're home. They'll be back Sunday night. We'll take a good look at the board, a hard look at the board again on Monday and Tuesday morning, and then we'll be ready to roll.
How close are you to making a final decision at this point, or at least narrowing it down to a specific set of guys?
How close?
Yeah.
You know, you can't close your mind. You don't know what's going to happen.
You're at two, though, I would assume.
Well, you know, I mean, sure. I mean, you know, you can, you know. Listen. We'll know when we know. You know, I'm not making any decisions before the draft.
How important is this pick to the future of this franchise?
Well, when you're picking this high, if you make a mistake, we talk that when you miss on a quarterback, you've really hurt the franchise for probably 5 years. It's a 5-year mistake. So it's a big decision. But as long as you've done your homework and you've turned all the rocks over, you'll come to the right answer. You ask the right questions, you get to the right answer.
Dave, the last year or two, it seemed like this year.
I'm sorry?
The last year or two, it seemed like this year's quarterback class was an anticipated one. Now that you have all of the pre-draft information, how would you say that the quality of the quarterbacks in this year's class stack up? You put it in context to previous years. It seems like there's a lot of quantity, but I don't know about
that. You know, it's funny. It's a really neat group to evaluate because it's all different flavors. I'm with the second pick, I'm sitting at Ben and Jerry's, and I got a lot of flavors to look at, and it's really. They've all got stuff. They're different, and I can't compare it to the '83 draft, if that's what you're asking, you know. And of the '83 draft, you had Elway, Kelly, Marino. Come on, Steve, help me. I'm talking about the guys that really made it.
O'Brien.
Yeah, O'Brien was pretty good. Eason, you know, who played for my at that time my Patriots, but anyhow.
What about 2004?
I'm sorry.
What about 2004?
You know, that was a heck of a group too, Pat. You know, it's everything's different. And again, we're in a different time with college football being just different. You know, it's funny when I went to Carolina. So at the opening presser, they say. I start getting obviously banged on about Cam. And I said, listen, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care what kind of quarterback you are. I don't care who you play for. If you can't make plays from the pocket, you can't win. You can't win. You got to be able to make plays from the pocket. So they take that and they run with it, and I'm going to trade Cam. the bottom line is, all of these guys are interesting. They're unique. There is depth there for sure. And, you know, it's a heck of a group to watch. It's fun.
Dave, when you talk about the quarterbacks, you look at them in this draft, given the importance of the position and how you really can't win without one, do you still apply your gold jacket standard to whether you pick at number two if it's a quarterback?
I'm going to turn the question on you guys. Okay, my mother told me it was never polite to answer a question with a question, but I'm going to do it anyhow, okay? If you think about it, think about all the quarterbacks you've seen. Who of them have made everybody better? That's what you're looking for in a quarterback. Does he make everybody around him better? That's what you're looking for.
Is it naive to think that the 3 days that you guys are going to see Davis Webb next week could totally change the top of your board?
You know, it's nothing's going to totally change the top of the board, okay? seeing Davis, you know, next week is going to be fun for us because, you know, he's a great kid. He works his fanny off. He has followed Eli around like a little puppy dog since he walked in the door. And it'll be a neat opportunity to see him play, you know. And, yeah, I mean, you know, sure, everything affects it. You know, you know, I'd be a liar to say no. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Dave, do you like the fact that there are so many opinions about what you are going to do?
Like it.
At number two?
I love it. Are you kidding me? By the way, when you were on Sirius the other day, it was on a Saturday. I was in here holed up watching film. And I was listening to you. It was hysterical what you were saying. I loved it. Yeah, I do.
Was I right?
What's that?
Was I right?
What's that?
Was I correct?
Yeah, you were. In the response that you made, is Dave Gettleman doesn't care. So about what the media says, it's, you know, it's true.
But in terms of, you know, people bring up smoke screens and information is leaked and that kind of thing.
Let me tell you something. When I was a little kid, every time I lied, I got caught. And when I was 7 years old, my father kicked my butt, and I haven't lied since then. You know, it's silly. That's me. So I think it's silly. What's that? I'm taking you, Steve.
That's a five-year mistake.
Oh, gosh. What else we got, kids?
Is Saquon Barkley, in your opinion, a transcendent, a generational-type player?
He's a tremendous talent. I'm not going to lie. He's a tremendous talent. You know, you put film on, and Penn State's, you know, a defensive guy, and if they're playing Penn State, you end up watching Saquon. Saquon's very gifted and talented. He's one of those guys that my mother could have scouted. She could have figured that one out.
Dave, can I go back to what you said earlier about the philosophy? When you look at the board and you see a position that's really deep, does that kind of, like, affect your opinion? Like, for example, you know, guards, if the guard class is considered deep, do you say to yourself, do you ignore that and just say, I'm still going best available?
No, you got to stay with value. You have to stay with the value because, you know, you guys have heard a million stories. I've heard a million and one. You've probably heard maybe half a million where, you know, the guy says, don't worry. He'll be, you know, the GM or whatever is being told, don't worry. He'll be there in the next round. And next round comes around, he ain't there. You know, you have to stay with your board. You have to stay with value. If you can get too cute doing this. You can get too cute doing it. You know, guys kind of laughed around the league when, you know, we'd be on the clock in Carolina and I'd have my pick in 28 seconds. You know, you know what you want. Go do it. Don't be shy. You know, you want to, you know. If you get too cute, you're going to lose. You're going to come up on the wrong end. And it's about value. You can never have too many good players at one position.
Dave, along those lines, how do you weigh the value of what the running back position is in the NFL versus the talent of a guy like Saquon, especially compared to the value of a quarterback in number two?
You know, I think the devaluing of the running back is really a myth, okay? If you have a great running back, he immediately makes your quarterback better, your offensive line better, and your passing game better. It's just the way it is, you know. So I don't believe in it. It's how we evaluate the players, how we value them, how we rate them, and then you go on from there.
How much do you put in consideration where, you know the Yeah, you look at the value, you look at the positions, and you also look at the length of a guy's career. I mean, it's just the facts. A quarterback can last long, a defensive end can last long, you know, offensive lineman can. The running back usually does not. So when you look at this, you say, I got the number two pick, and I love this guy, but his shelf life is really only 4 or 5 years, according to the norm. Do you look at that and say, well, you love this guy, but you want a guy for 10 years, not for five?
You know, Paul, it's dangerous. dangerous to look at it that way. Anthony Munoz failed everybody's physical, and he only played 15 years and went to the Hall of Fame. you talk about it, Thurman Thomas had no ACL. I think he had a pretty lengthy, long career. So you can't get into, you make yourself crazy. You just can't get into that. It's the value, it's the player. If he fits you and the value is there, pull the trigger and keep moving.
Dave, what about the value of having that number two pick helping you now versus obviously a quarterback is not somebody that's going to come in and start right away. That's more for the future of the franchise than the present. How do you weigh that?
It's a consideration. It's a consideration. You think about stuff. It's a consideration.
Years do you think Eli Manning has left?
Well, we've talked about it. There's no ability to predict that. Eli takes great care of his body. He's very fit. He still I watched the film. He still has plenty of arm. Who knows? Did anybody know that I'm drawing a blank on his name, would play quarterback at the age of 45? Who knows? I know the Oakland kicker, Blanda, played a game late, right, Steve? He played a game late, and there was another quarterback. He played for Atlanta. But anyhow, Eli takes great, like I said, I'm going to say it again, he takes great care of himself. He's very fit. He still has plenty of arm.
How much does he factor into the equation when you do number two?
Everybody factors. Your team factors into the equation. Everybody does. Here's the deal, okay? As the GM, I walk a tightrope. I got to look at the short term, I got to look at the short term, and I got to look at the long term. And that's the tightrope I walk. And I have to take all that in consideration and making decisions, whether it's the draft, whether it's unrestricted free agency, whether it's trading for an Alec Ogletree, whatever it is, making claims, you have to think that way. So I'm on that tightrope, trying to do doing the best I can with the information I have, and we move forward.
Dave, what do you say to the idea?
I'm sorry, Kim.
Dave, what do you say to the idea that picking second, you have to take a quarterback? Because you don't want to be in this situation, ever again, essentially.
I say I want to hogwash. How's that?
You never traded back in five drafts in Carolina.
No, I never did I?
Philosophical? Just what?
No, it just kind of never happened, I guess. I guess it came, I traded up a bunch. I know that. It just kind of never happened. There was nothing ever meaningful enough that would keep me from the player that we had that was there for us to take. I guess that's what it is. You can outsmart yourself, and you can have a player there you like, but someone wants to trade, and I can get extra draft picks, and you get into that. Nobody ever offered us in Carolina. I never got a meaningful enough offer to trade back.
Are you open to it if a meaningful enough offer came your way?
Sure. Depending upon what's on the board and who's still on the board. I'm open to it. Listen, you have to be open to everything. You got to listen. You can't be afraid of conversation. You have to be open.
Do you get more offers and calls because you're sitting in such a
practice? We've had calls. I'll admit to that. That's as far as I'm going.
What would you say the likelihood that something actually happens?
I'm not going to put a percentage on that. I mean, if I had the answer to that, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be in Vegas.
When you talk about calls, to move down, are you adamant that you have to get a great player in this draft? Because at number two, you feel you can. And if you move down, you can probably get a very good player or maybe, a different level prospect.
Sometimes you have to look at it this way. I'm not saying this is the way I always look at it. Sometimes you have to look at it this way. We're all in school, all right? Do we want to get an A in four Cs Or do we want an A-minus, a couple of B-pluses, and a couple of Bs? Winning requires depth, Paul. If you don't have depth, I mean, you know, I've seen teams that had great defenses that folded in the fourth quarter because they had no depth. And now you've got guys on the field for 95, 98% play time. And you can't win that way. Guys wear down. So there's obviously different ways of looking at it. It depends upon what the A looks like. But if you get a chance to accumulate quality, you know, where you put yourself in a position where you potentially accumulate picks and have a lot of bring in solid players, there's nothing wrong with that now. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's a report that you're releasing Brandon Marshall. Can you comment on that?
What's that?
There's a report that you're releasing Brandon Marshall.
Really?
Can you comment on that?
Yes, we have. Next question.
Why now? It seemed like it was.
What's that?
Why now?
Well, you know, he's you know, we're releasing him failed physical. I have interest in everybody. I have interest in everybody. Well, you know, we do our film work, and you never know.
Dave, I know we did 12 rounds with you at the NFL meetings on Odell Beckham, but now that we're closer to the draft and that's removed, are you able to say now for sure that he's going to be on this team in 2018, or are you
willing
to say he's not being traded?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say anything. No, he's on our team. He's a valued member of our football team.
Dave, you spent a lot of time talking about skill players and quarterbacks and running backs. I mean, the Giant history has been built around linemen. I mean, it's too high for a lineman.
You know, it was really funny. We did some background work. There's only been one guy taken with the second pick of the draft, and it was in 1960. It was Tom Curran of the Rams. You know, Brandon Scherff was taken 5. You know, in the old days, people would shoot you in the head. You know, you'd be considered brain dead, and they drag you out and by your toes. Is it ever too early to take a great player? Really, you know you know my philosophy. Big men allow you to compete, and you're going to build your lines from the going to build this team from the inside out. You know, you look at the teams that go deep in the playoffs. They're, you know, you turn around, you take a look at how Philly, how he's built Philly. Heavy-bodied fronts, let's go. Because, again, those three truths don't change. You got to run the ball, you got to defend the run, you got to rush the passer. So everybody else wants to talk about skilled guys. I like to talk about hog mollies. You know.
Dave, back to trade scenarios. You said you've traded up a lot, which I'm sure we know. You only have 6 picks and none after the 5th round. Do you have enough assets to trade up somewhere in the draft if you want to? And what's your thought dipping into the future drafts?
No, I'm not going to do that. No. I'll tell you that right now. Right now, I have no intention of dipping into the future draft. None.
Dave, you mentioned your draft board. You said you got to learn to do something different. Carolina, and I know when Jerry was here, he had Rose. Can you just explain a little bit how you set up your draft board?
It's a combination of a vertical. You have by position, you set it up vertically, and then once you've set your values on the players vertically, then you start working horizontally. Okay, so let's say I got Russ Salzburg, at a 7-4. Art Stapleton at a 7-4, and I got Paul Schwartz at a 7-4. All right? And Russ is the running back. Art's the tackle, and Paul is, I don't know, a pass rusher. I'll give him some good stuff. You know, what you're going to do now is if they all have the same value, they're all in the same conversation. So when the pick comes up, and those three characters are all 7'4"s, talk about, you know, what it is, and, you know, if it's there's a need at one of those positions, well, you take the need. If there's not a need, you just take the best guy, but that's your conversation. You're not talking about 25 guys. You're talking about three guys. That makes sense to you guys?
Crystal clear. We'll take a couple more.
Dave, I know you guys, you laid out the process. When scouts come back, you'll look over the board again Monday and Tuesday. If you had to make the pick now in your mind, in your heart, do you know who you want to take?
No. I'm being honest. You know?
Does all that information you've gotten, all the visits, is it a little bit of overkill? Does it move your mind a lot?
It's not overkill at all. It really isn't. Because, you know, it's interesting to see a guy out of his own element. Because there's a little less comfort there. And, you know, you can't know too much about a guy. You know, because remember, you're bringing him into your locker room. How's he going to handle him? Do you want him in your locker room? You know, who's he coming here with? You know, if he's going to be alone, does he know how to boil water? You know, how's he going to handle New York City? It's all that stuff. And we got to find that out because when you come into the National Football League and so many of these guys are 21 and 20 years old, when they get out there for the first time and there's some 28, 29-year-old man staring them in the face, they better be ready for that because it's going to be a rude awakening. And if you don't bring in the kinds of guys that you know are going to be able to stand up to that, you're going to make mistakes. So the 30 visits are not overkill. The amount of contact that we have with these guys over the draft process between the All-Star Games and Indianapolis and then their pro day workouts and then the 30 guys that we can bring in here, it's very, very meaningful, and it's important.
Hey, when you talk about the quarterbacks, it's like eating Ben and Jerry's, a lot of different flavors. Everybody does something different. Does that also translate to there's no one who has it all?
Not necessarily. They're all the four different, distinct personalities. But no, not necessarily.
Dave, you know, you just mentioned you don't right now. You don't know in your mind who you think you're going to take. Do you right now? There's only one player you can't take at this point. It's the person.
Which I don't know who it is.
Right. Do you know in your mind right now if you'll take a quarterback?
What's that?
If you will take a quarterback.
Time will tell.
Dave, by your own barometer of at number two, wanting to be able to envision that player in a gold jacket someday, is there a chance that that player's out there, he can help you win now, and it actually isn't that hard a decision?
Yes.
And if I can follow up.
Oh, here we go.
If I can follow up. if you took Christian McCaffrey last year, I believe it was eighth overall.
It was eight.
At least from what I read, after making the pick, you described it as a no-brainer.
For us. At that time, for us, he was a no-brainer.
Could you argue it too, Saquon is a no-brainer to help this team?
You could argue anyway. You could argue that either way. You know.
Dave, last one. Dave, you expressed numerous times about you want football players that love the game of football. One of the things written about Josh Rosen is that maybe he might lack the desire to play the game. You met with him.
Yeah, we did.
What was the impression of Rosen?
He wants to play football now. He wants to play football. You know, he came off, he's bright, he's insightful, he wants to play football.